Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
My main goal is, when a player leaves Strathaven High School baseball, that they leave there saying that they had an enjoyable experience. If they can say that I had so much fun playing baseball at Strathaven, that means the world to me. That means that we did our jobs, whether we won, whether we lost. And I can see that that has been the case, because we have a lot of players to come back. That means something to see the former players come back.
And our guest this week is Brian Feely. He is the head baseball coach at Strathaven High School in Wallingford. He is also a former star baseball player at Upper Darby High School and at Villanova. And Brian, thanks so much for coming in.
I appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for having me down here.
So let's talk right now. We were talking coming down the hallway here. It's the fall as we're recording this, late September. In addition to being the baseball coach, you help coach the football team, and that's the main focus these days right now?
It is. It's the main focus right now. I coach under Kevin Clancy, a longtime coach at Strathaven High School. He's been there a long, long time, very successful coach. I learned a lot from him over the years. You know, with my baseball program, I took a lot of what he does with his football, just as far as running a program. And, you know, I have taken a lot of the things that he's taught me, you know, into the baseball program. Being a younger person, it was fortunate enough to play against him. When I was in high school, he was the coach at Strathaven when I was still at Upper Darby, and he's still the coach there at Strathaven, but a very successful coach.
Is there anything with baseball in the fall? Like, just work? Is it just workouts or anything, or do you guys have any kind of like controlled practices, scrimmages, anything like that?
So a lot of our kids are playing multiple sports for Strathaven, but the kids that are playing just baseball do play in travel ball. So they're playing in different tournament teams around. There's a bunch of different teams that they can play for, so those guys do try to play a lot of fall ball on their own and some of their travel organizations.
When will you start to ramp up as a team? Like, come by what, about February?
So December.
December?
On December, every Saturday morning, I get the guys up early. We're 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. We go to a local indoor facility, and we hit for an hour and a half. We do some things with a bunch of different cages, and we try to get cranking up there, and then the pitchers will start throwing towards the end of January to get ready for the March season.
How many kids will you have on your roster?
I usually have about 17 to 20 on the varsity, about 15 to 17 on the JV, and we also have a freshman team that we added a few years ago that has about 15 kids usually.
When you're with the team, how long do you feel like it takes you before you have a good feel for what you have? As far as like what this group's ceiling is, I mean, you know, this kid can hit, this kid can throw, you know, maybe where you're a little weak or where you're a little stronger. But how long after all these years does it take you to really get a feel like, okay, this group's got it, or this year or whatever year might be kind of a bridge year? How long do you feel like it takes you?
So I guess it all depends year to year. 2 years ago, we knew we had a quality group coming in. There's a lot of veterans, so there wasn't a whole lot of the basic fundamentals that we could skip over some of that stuff. And we had a strong year. We ended up losing in the state championship that year. This year is a little different. We have to replace a lot of people. We do have an outstanding number one pitcher, Division I pitcher. We have to replace our entire outfield, so it's going to take some, you know, some growing pains to figure out who they are, let them compete it out a little bit. But we do have some quality players, quality kids. And I'm not going to change the expectations every year. It's, you know, it's our same goal. We want to try to win a Central League championship. We want to try to win a district championship, and then we want to try to get to the state championship if we can. And you know, we can do it with, you know, with different pieces, and that's the plan every year. But it does take some time. You know, it might be a couple guys shuffling in at third base or a couple different guys competing at second base, and it usually plays out. You know, some guys usually take advantage of that situation and take a hold of that spot and run with it. So that's usually what we hope for.
How difficult is one of the things when you're coaching high school at a high level, I have to imagine – how difficult is it to project a 13, 14-year-old what they're going to be? And I don't just mean as a player, like physically, stuff like that. Like, I'm sure the more you do it, you get a general idea. But, you know, when you think back of what you looked like as an eighth grader and what you looked like as a senior, it's completely different. How difficult is that for you from a coaching standpoint to figure, how's this kid going to fill out? How's this kid going to develop?
You know, it's very difficult. We just actually had that example 2 years ago. We had a pitcher named Alex Pock, who was our number one pitcher 2 years ago, that pretty much we rode him to the state championship. He didn't even really get a whole lot of looks because his junior year, you know, he was a good pitcher. And then his senior year, he really, really, really took a huge step. Took a huge enough step that, you know, he wasn't really getting recruited by a ton of schools, some small schools, some Division III schools. And he ends up going up to Penn State, walking on and making the team his freshman year. So he had an amazing, I mean, we're not at the state championship unless it's with Alex Pock. And again, that was a kid that, you know, we thought he was good, and he really, really matured. He got bigger. He got stronger. You're talking about projecting. That's one of the reasons why I don't like the whole the college recruiting part of it for baseball purposes, because, you know, these kids have to decide early on, freshman, sophomore year, where they're going to be going, if they can, you know, get the scholarship money. Because a lot of that money, when I talk to college coaches, they're looking for 26s and 27s and 28s. It's not like, who are your seniors this year, like it used to be in the old days. So but it, you know, it is tough to project. That's one of the things we look at when they come in as freshmen, whether they're going to make the team or not. We got to say, you know, is he going to be able to contribute, you know, at a varsity level someday? You know, and we take some projects here and there. There's maybe some bigger kids that, you know, maybe they're left-handed and maybe we can teach them how to pitch. But it is tough. And some kids we're on with, and some kids, you know, we're wrong with. We've had kids that got cut as freshmen, and next thing you know, 2 years later, they're in the starting lineup because they kept coming out and giving it a shot, which I give a lot of credit to those kids who don't make it as ninth graders, come out again as 10th graders, and then they make the team. And here they are as seniors and in the starting lineup every day. So that happens. You know, that happens. Sometimes we miss some kids early on, but that's one of the things we have to go through. We sit down all the time with the coaches and try to figure that out.
Now, you teach, in addition to coaching, you teach math, right, at the middle school?
Yes.
How does being a teacher complement being a coach? Because in a lot of ways, they're similar. But I also think there's some differences. But I think, not that it's that unique, but having those tracks be consistent in your life, I would think it kind of broadens the tool bag when it comes to things you can do when dealing with the kids, working with them. You might have a little more empathy for what they're going through classroom-wise, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very interesting for me because I'm a middle school teacher and I coach the varsity baseball team. So a lot of these kids that I'm coaching, I taught when they were 14 years old as eighth graders. So to see them as 17 and 18-year-old kids and seeing, remembering what they were like when they were 14 years old as, you know, high school, as middle school kids, to see them grow up, how mature they've gotten over the years. But it's also helped my relationship with my players, because now I've known them for 3 years in middle school and 4 years in high school. So these kids have been with me for 7 years, some of them. So it does, you know, the trust that I have in them and the trust that they have in me is really important, and that's been really helpful. But as a high school coach, you also, the way you behave in the classroom as a teacher, you have to behave the same way out on the field as an adult coaching a high school team, no matter what sport it is. You know, it's not like you're coaching a summer team and, you know, you still have a job and you still have to, you know, treat the kids just like if they were in the classroom. So
now, when did you decide you were going to coach? Was it always something, you know, playing that you figured one day, or was it something, playing days are over, I still need to be a part of this game, let me see what the opportunities are?
That's an interesting story, because I actually went into Villanova in my freshman year as a pre-med major, and I decided that there's no way I can do this and play baseball at Villanova. So I decided I wanted to be a teacher and a coach, and it's all because of George Bennett, who was my college baseball coach. But he was also a teacher at Upper Darby, and I saw what he did. He was teaching at Upper Darby, and he was coaching the baseball team at Villanova, and I just thought, and he was such a great person, and that's why I'm a teacher today, and I followed his footsteps, and that's what I did. I changed to an education major, and decided I was going to go teach math, and I wanted to be a coach. And that's, you know, and Georgia's the big reason for that.
Did you look at any other schools from a college standpoint, or did that connection kind of cement that it was going to be Villanova?
I did look. I took my recruiting trips, and it was down to East Carolina and Richmond and Villanova. Those were the three. I ended up injuring my – I'm left-handed, and I was a pitcher in high school, and I ended up injuring my arm in my senior year. And I knew that George Bennett was going to give me an opportunity to not only pitch but also play outfield. And I fortunately went that route because I wasn't able to pitch again. Just, you know, never really recovered from that labrum surgery. So I ended up going to Villanova, and about two-thirds of the way through my freshman year, I ended up starting in center field, and that was the rest of it. I ended up starting the next 3 years after that.
Did you miss pitching or
– I did. I like, you know, if that competitive part of you likes to have the ball in your hand every pitch, you're a big part of the game. And that's why I always tell my high school kids that the game is going to be controlled by whoever's standing on that mound. You know, they control the tempo. They control the game. They control the running game. They control everything. So if you have quality pitching, you can win a lot of baseball games.
Let's put a pin in the college stuff. Growing up, was baseball your number one sport, like playing, or were you banging around to whatever was going on in the neighborhood?
In high school, I played football, basketball, and baseball all the way growing up, played all those sports. And my favorite sport was whatever sport I was playing that season. That's just how it was back then. I wish it was more of that these days. There's not as many kids that are playing these three sports. And I think the kids that do play those multiple sports, I find out they're the more competitive kids, and they're the more, you know, the kids that are, I don't know, they're just winners. A lot more of those are winners. But, you know, that's mainly that I loved football the most, though. I actually loved playing football the most.
What position were you?
I played running back and defensive back. And I got recruited by a few schools to play football. Like, I went out to Siena on a recruiting trip for football. But in the end, I'm 5'8". You know, and so baseball was the route that I went. I was getting recruited by more schools, and that's what I decided to do, to go play baseball.
Did you miss the other sports, or, you know, it kind of takes a different level up when you start thinking about playing at college and stuff like that? Was it?
Yeah, I miss playing, you know, specifically football. I miss playing football. But I knew that, you know, the baseball was going to be the way to go. And, you know, I'm totally fortunate that I made that decision. Very fortunate that I chose Villanova, got to play for George Bennett, and we had a great, you know, career. At the 4 years that I was there, we were very competitive. We made it to the Big East Championship in my sophomore year, and, you know, my senior year, sorry. It was a lot of fun.
Did you always figure that you were going to be able to play college something? Were you pretty confident that you were going to be able to go to the next level at some point?
I was set in stone that I was going to be able to play a sport somewhere. Sports was my life. That's all I did, was play sports growing up. In the neighborhood with the friends, my older brother, and all the guys in the neighborhood. But I was definitely going to play a sport. I didn't know what level I was going to be able to play at, but I was definitely going to play a sport somewhere, for sure.
So at Villanova, you mentioned the pitching goes by the wayside.
Yep.
You played the outfield. You were also a heck of a base stealer. What makes a good base stealer?
A lot of it is getting good jumps. Obviously, you got to be able to run a little bit, but getting jumps is the most important part. Studying the pitchers. If pitchers aren't mixing up their timing, you know, if some of them are easier to run on others. Left-hander is a little bit more difficult because, you know, you can't just go first move all the time and guess wrong. But, you know, just studying that a little, and back then we didn't really have the film of all the pitchers that, you know, they have nowadays. But it's just being alert, paying attention when you're not on the field, and you're seeing guys on bases, and just paying attention to how they're holding runners on, whether they like to throw over, whether they don't like to throw over, do they throw over twice, do they throw over three times. So there's a lot of little things like that. That's why the game of baseball is incredible, because there's so many little things about the game that if you don't play the game, you just don't know. You know, you don't take a look at a lot of those things. But yeah, so that was one of my strengths. I was a leadoff hitter. You know, Coach Bennett trusted me to do that, and he pretty much gave me the green light when I was on the bases, whether I wanted to take a base or not. So that was a big part of my game, for sure. I wasn't going to be a big power guy, so just try to get on base and cause some havoc.
Did your background as a pitcher help you in base stealing, as far as getting into that mindset of situations and stuff like that, and maybe how you would approach holding the base? A base runner on, or am I getting too
deep
with that?
I don't think so. It's interesting because I have some kids on my team now that are very, very good, very fast, very good runners, but they're not great base stealers, mm-hmm. just because of the whole, you know, the timing and just that, you know, the...
You see that in the big leagues.
Yeah.
Guys that can run and it just doesn't click when it comes to base stealing.
They don't react quick enough. They don't take the proper leads. So it's interesting to see that.
How much of it do you think can be taught, and how much of it is almost kind of instinctual?
You can teach a little bit. You know, there's things that I teach as far as, you know, right-handed pitcher, where your eyes need to be, and left-handed pitcher, where we're focusing on the, you know, what parts of the body, whether they're going to be coming over or not. But it really is just that natural instinct and that, you know, being able to get that proper read, you know, when that, as a right-hander, when that foot comes up and that heel, the right heel stays on the mound, then you know that they got to go home to the plate, those just little things. And we practice that a lot, you know, during practice, just, you know, with our, my pitching coach will be on the mound and we'll just have the kids on first base, maybe two or three in a row here, and just reading it. And the more they do it, you know, the better they're going to be at that skill.
What do you think is the most impressive, and my goal, I did not expect to be getting into the weeds in base running, but this, like you said about baseballs, you can go on and on.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most impressive base running ability? Is it being able to score from second on a single to left? Is it able to go first to third, stuff like that? Is there something that when you see somebody do it consistently, you're like, that's an elite base runner?
You know what I like is guys that really have good dirt ball reads. I can explain that. Like if the ball's in the dirt, some of these guys see it, the angle of the ball out of the pitcher's hand. And we try to teach that a lot at school, but they can just see that. And they're off and going before that ball even hits the dirt. Because now you got a catcher that's got to get down on their knees, block the baseball, get up, pick up the baseball, and be able to throw the ball to second base. It's too hard to do. If guys are good at it and they get dirt ball reads, they can take free bases without even stealing the base. That, to me, is very impressive for a base runner. Not even something that I was great at. It's just something that some guys really do have that knack to see it, be able to read the angle out of the hand, whether they know before even. And you know how the higher level you get, that pitch is coming in a little faster, so you have less time to react to it. But I've always been impressed about guys that really see that and be able to take that extra base just on dirt ball. You don't see it in the pros as much. But when you're at the high school and the college level, it's, you can really take advantage of that. I mean, that's just, you're putting yourself in scoring position just because you had a good dirt ball read instead of trying to steal a base. That, to me, is one of the most impressive base running things you can do.
What are some of your favorite memories? Let's start from high school.
Yep.
At Upper Darby.
We had a Central League championship in football. We had a Central League championship in basketball. We had a Central League championship in baseball. Those were all great. I generally loved waking up. We didn't have lights at Upper Darby when I was playing football there, but I generally loved waking up 8 o'clock, 7:30 on a Saturday morning. We played 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. Being able to go out there and play football with your buddies—that was my favorite thing to do. You know, those were the biggest parts of the high school memories that I had, and playing in the playoffs in baseball for sure.
And how about at Villanova?
Definitely playing in the Big East Championship my senior year. We came in, as a matter of fact, the last weekend of the year, we were not in the Big East tournament. We had to sweep Pitt, I believe it was. And if we didn't sweep Pitt, we were out. We ended up sweeping Pitt. We ended up winning on a walk-off in the last inning. We made it to the Big East tournament. We ended up having to play Notre Dame, who was the number one seed. We knocked them out in extra innings the first time we played them. Matter of fact, I think Brad Lidge might have been on that team. And then we ended up coming back out of the loser's bracket and beating Notre Dame again. Ended up playing St. John's in the Big East tournament. I mean, the Big East championship. We ended up losing that game, but that was a memory I'll never forget because we were a team that, like, hard nose. We didn't have a bunch of, you know, draftable guys. We played hard. We played the game the right way. But that was a big, big memory that I had for sure, playing in that Big East championship.
Now, you said you originally were pre-med at Villanova. Had you stayed on that track, what were your hopes to do career-wise?
I definitely wanted to be like something with orthopedics. It was what I was first thinking about. It just got to the point where I'm coming home from a game, if we're coming back from the University of Delaware and we get back at 7 o'clock and I missed class and I had to go meet my professor at 9 p.m. and redo the lab, it just got to be crazy. And it was really hard to be able to do both of those successfully. So that's the biggest reason why I changed over. Because I was also thinking about, if I wasn't going to be playing sports after college, I wanted to be involved in sports. And if you're involved in medicine, you can still be involved in sports. Now, here I am as a teacher, still involved in sports. So, again, sports has been my life.
So what opens the door to coaching? Like, what's the first opportunity?
So when I first got to Strathaven, I was an assistant for the varsity head coach. And as soon as he stepped down, I was hired by Strathaven. I was probably 24 years old when I got the head baseball job. That was interesting now that I'm 49, still doing it. But that opened up, and the same time I was there, I was asked by Coach Clancy to help out with the football team, and I've been doing that ever since.
So when you take over at that young an age, you had played at a high level.
Yeah.
But coaching, it's different. All eyes are on you. Did you know what you didn't know, or was every day an adventure?
You know, it was interesting. One of the hardest parts that I had was I felt like every player was going to play with the same intensity that I played with when I was a kid, and that's just not the case. You have to treat all these kids differently. Some respond certain ways, some respond other ways, and that's something that I've learned over the years. I've also felt like I'm a way better communicator now than I was when I was at 24 years old. I didn't realize how much these 16, 17, and 18-year-old kids really needed to know what they're showing up to every day, what they're, like I said earlier, what their responsibilities are going to be, what their roles are going to be. And my assistants and I think we do a pretty good job of that. So the kids show up every day and they kind of really know. We put a practice schedule up every day. As soon as they come, that's the first thing they do. They want to see what – so we're way more organized, way better communicators now than we were when I was a younger kid. So that's been the biggest thing.
We need to take a break on One-on-One. We will have more with Strathaven High School head baseball coach Brian Feely in just a few moments. But right now, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. Discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda, KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's get back to our conversation with Brian Feely, head baseball coach at Strathaven High School.
How difficult was it as someone who played at a high level to, from a coaching standpoint, deal with a kid, especially high school, some of those younger kids, that maybe just can't do things that came really easy for you?
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine as a young coach, it can sometimes test your patience, like, well, just do it. Why don't you just do it? But everybody learns differently. Maybe they just don't have that skill set. But I think when it's something that maybe came really easy to you, it's almost hard to get your head around that other people playing the same thing can't do it. Was that a challenge for you as a young coach?
Yeah, it was definitely challenging as a young coach, for sure. Every kid's going to be different. The biggest thing is I'm going to try to make each one of those kids the best baseball player they can be. Whether some are physically limited, maybe they're 5'8", maybe they're 6'3". You know, it's just if you're 5'8" and you're left-handed, you're not going to be going out there and throwing 92 miles an hour. It's just probably not going to happen. It's very, you know, there's few and far between that do that. But the goal is just to make each kid the best baseball player that they can possibly be.
How long do you feel like it took you to hit your stride as a coach? And I don't mean have the most success, but just like hit the point where you knew what to expect and you were pretty comfortable with whatever was going to come your way throughout a season.
You know, I think it took about 5 years. I think it took about 5 years for me to really understand what I need to do, as a coaching staff, to be able to compete in the Central League, which is very competitive. But since 2010, we've been very, very good. All, you know, that's now we're talking 14 years now where we've had consistent success. We've won a bunch of Central League championships. We've won a bunch of district championships, and we've made it to the state title now once. But that doesn't go without having great players and great kids. But it definitely helps that again, like you said, to answer your question, it took about 5 years before we really understood that.
What else happened around 2010 that you feel like helped elevate things to the kind of consistent level of excellence you've been able to enjoy here?
One thing that we started to have some players that were tremendous leaders, tremendous captains. I want to say since 2010, every single year we've had outstanding senior leadership all the way through. But that started with senior leaders who were really, really good. And then those juniors learned from them. And then the juniors after that learned from them. And it just kind of trickled down every single year. I can say that since 2010, we've had great senior leadership almost every single one of those years. And they're not learning that from me. They're learning that from the guys before them. And it's always been that way ever since. It's been amazing to see that. And this year, we're hoping that they follow the leaders from last year. And it's just been a continuous process now since then.
And to that point, that was kind of going to be my follow-up, as that sounds like something. It's almost like teaching a group how to win. Mm-hmm. You can explain it. You can tell them what to do. You can put them in the position. But until they do it,
yep,
there's only so much that you can do from a coaching standpoint. It sounds like it's kind of the same thing here. And the fact that it says a lot about you and your staff and the program that they want to lift up the next generation without being prodded to do it.
Yeah, it's a culture thing. It takes a while to build a culture. And I think that culture has been built now. And it just keeps following itself year in and year out, which has been great to see. But again, we have great kids. They're great students. They're great baseball players. They have great, great parents. And, you know, it's just with great character. And that's been – we're lucky. We're lucky to be coaching at Strathaven because of those kids.
How do you feel like you have changed as a coach from when you started about 25 years ago to now? Either in approach, demeanor, maybe what you prioritize day to day. Where do you think you've changed the most?
I would say the organization over the years has gotten much better. Like I said, every day the kids show up and there's a practice schedule printed out. You know, some things we've added where when we get into the playoffs, I'll have printed cards of every single player on the other team, where they hit the ball, what location. So the kids, you know, you see it in the major leagues every day when they pull out of their pocket and they got the outfielders, got the cards where to line up. We'll do some of that for our playoff games just because it's not teams that you play every day. So it's not like we're playing Springfield, who we've played for the last 4 years, you know, twice a year. We're not playing Marple Newtown, same thing. So we'll do that to make sure they're organized. I'm also a firm believer that the kids are going to be, they're going to react just like you do. So if I come out to the mound and I'm frantic, the kids are going to be frantic. So you have to keep a calm demeanor. I just remember specifically 2 years ago walking out in the state championship, walking out on the mound to talk to one of my players, and his heart was beating out of his chest. He's on the mound in the state championship game. He's on TV. All of his friends are home watching. And this is an amazing kid that I have on my team, but his heart was beating. I could literally tell. So if I go out there and I'm frantic, I'm not helping that at all. So I want to make sure that, you know, I'm calm when I go out there. Obviously, yeah, the kids know that I got moments when I go out there that I'm not as calm, but that's just more because of mental mistakes. My players know that I'm not going to ever get on them for physical mistakes, because you see it every night when you watch the Phillies, there's physical mistakes going on with professional baseball players. It's just more about all the things that we practice every day, that if they're making the mental mistakes, you know, that we preach every day, that we practice every day. Those are the times when I'll get on the players if they're making mental mistakes like that. But I've always been a calm person on the diamond.
Do you feel how you gauge success has changed over your coaching career? Obviously, everybody wants to win and win, go as far as you can. But what you consider successful, do you feel like it's different now than it was beginning of your career?
Yeah, I do. Just because we've had a lot of success winning a lot of games and, you know, winning some championships, whether they're Central League, District, or, you know, making it to the state championship. But honestly, my main goal is when a player leaves Strathaven High School baseball, that they leave there saying that they had an enjoyable experience. If they can say that I had so much fun playing baseball at Strathaven, that means the world to me. That means that we did our jobs, whether we won, whether we lost. And I can see that that has been the case, because we have a lot of players to come back all the time, just to come back to watch. As soon as college is over, they're back. They're watching our games after school. So that means something to see the former players come back. But again, just my job is to make high school baseball an enjoyable experience for them before they go, you know, make it a lesson. Because baseball is a tough sport. It teaches you a lot of valuable lessons, you know, going forward in life. And, you know, that's my main goal.
What is your favorite part of what you do?
My favorite part of coaching baseball is to see, you know, for example, we had a kid, a left-handed pitcher a few years ago that didn't make the eighth grade baseball team. And I told him back then that, you know, he's a left-handed pitcher. I like the way he pitched. And I said, you're going to be pitching for me one day. You know, don't get down, work hard this summer and just keep working. And here we are, fast forward about 6 years later, now he's a college baseball pitcher. To see those kids develop over the years, I follow all of my college baseball players that are out there now. I love giving them a call. Some kids are surprised that I check in with them all the time when they're at school, whether, you know, see how they're doing. I'll just give them a ring and just see how things are. But just be able to see the kids that played at Strathaven High School baseball and be able to follow them in their college career, which is a lot of fun for me.
And it's interesting because preparing for this interview, I was looking up articles and stuff. And when I searched your name, one of the most common things that came up is that you would come up in the player's bio in college, played for, you know, at Strathaven High School. And that kind of goes with the culture, I think, to your point of coming back. But you also kind of building this thing that, like, listen, if you have success, if you do it right here, we're going to have fun. We're going to do it the right way. But there are doors that can be opened past just Strathaven. And if you don't believe me, do a Google search of the head coach and see what comes up.
Yeah, it's like I said, last winter I went up and drove up to Penn State and got to hang out with Alex Pock, who made the baseball team last year, and got to hang out, watch him practice. So that's a fun experience to be able to do. I've had a number of kids went down to the University of Delaware and played. I got to go down there and follow and watch them a little bit. I had a kid that just graduated from Villanova last year that I got to go watch play. So that's really enjoyable experience.
So the year you guys went to the state final, that was 2023, correct?
Yes.
And in talking, you knew that you had a group. I don't know that you look at it and say, we might go, might be able to win a state championship, but you obviously knew you were special.
Mm-hmm.
When, during that run, does it go from, we're a very good team to, oh my, we're going to be a really difficult out? Were you there early in the season, or was it something that progressed?
So we started off 5-0. We lost a really tough game to Ridley, where we just played not so good at all. And I remember the kids asking, I think I remember this was actually printed in the kids thought I was going to come out to the outfield. We always meet in the outfield afterwards, and they thought I was going to be really upset, and I really wasn't. You're not going to win every game in high school baseball. We didn't play well, but I said, we got to use this as a learning experience. And that's the maturity of those kids that I knew that I had on that team. We went out and won 14 of the next 15 games or something like that. And we didn't hit during the regular season. We had three very good pitchers. We had good athletes, good leaders. And I knew if we can start hitting the ball that we were going to be really tough. So we literally did not – we were winning games 3-1, 4-2, 5-1 all year long. And we get to the playoffs, and we're scoring double-digit runs like every single game. It was incredible. We were winning in a multitude of ways, whether we're winning 12-4 or whether we're winning 3-0. But when we started hitting on that run, and even in the state championship game, we scored 8 runs, but we just couldn't hold on. You know, we had our number one pitcher who pitched on Tuesday, and we had to play the state championship on Thursday, so he wasn't able to pitch. And we had our number two pitcher that started that reached his pitch limit, and he had to come out of the game, and we had a 5-run lead, and then we had to go some relief pitching. But yeah, that team, once we started hitting, I knew that team was going to be special.
How much of a, I don't know if challenge the right word, but getting that close, and you said you had a lead and it just didn't happen. And I think it was a walk-off that you guys lost on in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
You know, what was that like with the group? Because it's probably a situation, I don't mean to rub salt in, but you probably can't get closer to winning a state championship and not win it than about that. Like, what was that like, and what was the takeaway with the kids?
It was rough. I still think about it all the time. The hardest thing that I had was, after I had to put the medals over all the kids for second place, I literally had 4 minutes to figure out what I was going to say to these kids who spilled their heart and soul out on the field for the entire spring season. And they get to the ultimate goal of, which we've never been to before. That's the first time in Strathaven history where we've been to the state championship. That was one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do, to talk to those kids, but literally have 4 minutes to prepare for it. Just walking up the third baseline before I sit down with these players. But that was rough, because I know we had it in our hands, and something I always think about, you know, what if? But hey, you know, we just got to work harder and see if we can get back.
To that point, you talk about 2010, things kind of elevating. Does an appearance and a run like that, do you feel like that takes the program to an either even another level that shows that this is possible and this is something that can be a year-to-year goal if we work hard and things come together?
Yeah, it's just more of an expectation thing now. You know, the players that were 10th graders on that team, and you know, and now they know what to expect. They know what you have to do to get there. They saw all the hard work that everybody put in. So it makes it easier for me as a coach, because those kids know, they saw what that group did, you know, when they were sophomores. A lot of those kids on that team started when they were sophomores. So they had 3 years of varsity experience, and that's when I knew that group could do something. If every single one of them got better and better each year, we had a special group with a lot of experience under the belt. So just the expectation now that those younger kids know that they've been there, and even the middle school kids have seen us playing, and they come and watch our playoff games, they know that there's an expectation, which means I can expect more from them. And I told them that, you know, now that I can expect more from you, you know, what it takes to get there. So that's what I'm going to, you know, ask every single year. This is what we got to do to get there.
Love to win or hate to lose?
Oof, man, I hate to lose. I'm a competitive person. But, yeah, it's going home after a loss is tough. You know, that's why I feel my wife's been really, really good for me, because when I go home, it's I'm always thinking about I'm always trying to figure out what I could have done. Sometimes there is something I could have done as a baseball coach. Sometimes there isn't, you know. It's just, you have bases loaded and you have a couple kids up with nobody out and you don't score. That's tough luck. But I'm always taking it hard, for sure.
Do you prefer practice or games?
Games. Love games. Love practice, though, too, because we make it a lot of fun. But I love games. I love the competitive part of the games. And the thing about baseball is, you never know. There's always something that happens. You're like, wait a second. And I always tell the kids that, too. Like, if something happens during a game that we don't execute, if I haven't practiced it as a coach, then that's on me. But it's hard. That's hard in baseball, to kind of predict every single little thing. There's so many different things that can happen in a baseball game. So
to that point, is it easier to to grow as a coach when it comes to games or practice? Or I should say, is there more to learn in how to become a very good practice coach, to get the most out of the kids from a practice? Is that harder or easier than being the head coach during a game when you're obviously setting the lineup, making the pitching decisions? But I think there's only so much impact you can have if the question's making sense.
I totally understand. I think practice. There are so many, like I said, there's so many different things that can happen in a baseball game, and we got to make sure that all of our players are prepared for every single situation, and you got to practice all of them. When it comes to all those little things, taking a lead off the base, getting a dirt ball read, being able to go first and third, just when we're running the bases, you know, making sure we're getting good turns, you know, what's the proper lead with two outs and a man on second base, or just infield up, you know, with, you know, nobody out in infield up situations, being able to show all those, you got to practice all of those things. So just to have all of those things prepared, obviously you can't do them all every day, but you got to make sure that you practice them enough that, you know, you're prepared for those games. So the biggest thing is that if we prepare the kids enough in the games, then they're just going to go out there and play, and then play like they were coached and practice to do every single day.
Does success hit differently as a coach than it did as a player? Like, say you win a championship, do you feel like, as someone who's, you know, done both at a high level and had a lot of success, does it feel the same as a player or coach, or does it hit different?
I think it hits different. I think winning a championship as a coach has been better because you and your staff know the work you did to kind of get these kids prepared, and maybe since they were ninth graders or 10th graders, and to see it work, you know, it's very gratifying. And as a player, honestly, I just went out there and played the game like I wanted to play the game, and I played it hard, played it competitively. It's harder to coach a baseball game than it is to play in a baseball game, because the feelings that I have during a baseball game, I never had those feelings as a player out there on the field. Like, I'm worrying about every little thing. You know, what's the next pitch, or wherever we're going to be able to, you know, 3-2 counter, we're going to make a mistake and throw the ball over the middle. Usually playing a game, we just reacted and played the game that you love to play. But coaching, it's just all those little things to make sure, like, I feel like if we make a mistake, what did I not do as a coach? But yeah, it's very gratifying to see. And to be able to stand there and watch your kids celebrate on the field is just is an amazing experience.
Was there a certain point along this run where, you know, you start teaching, you start coaching at Strathaven, but, you know, 24, 25 years old, I don't know that you're thinking, oh, well, this is where I'm going to be for the next quarter century. Like, was there a certain point where you were like, man, I love this, and this is, I'm very content, you know, and, you know, you start having success. I mean, it's possible the phone starts ringing and people start asking, you know, well, what do you think of this? You know, like, at what point did you decide, either consciously or subconsciously, that, like, you were going to be at Strathaven for the long haul?
Yeah, I mean, I know I was going to be a teacher, and I'm very fortunate now. I've been teaching 27 years, I guess it is now, and I still love every single day going to work. I still love coaching baseball. I still love coaching football. I'm very fortunate to be able to be somebody who goes to work every single day and loves what they do. So that's been a blessing to be able to do that. And I still love it just as much now as I loved it back then, probably even more, honestly, just because of the experience and what I've learned, how to handle the kids. It's been a great experience. And hopefully I can do it for another 10 years, I would say, or so, until I ended up retiring from teaching. But who knows? You can retire from teaching and still coach. I love it.
Is there anything, obviously, I guess, win a state championship would be a box unchecked. Are there other things that, with all the success you've had, that is still something you would, I don't want to say chasing, but still something you'd like to do before it's all said and done?
I would love to. I would love to be able to have that experience, just for the school, for the community, just to be able to have, you know, because we've had a couple state championships in football, and we've had some soccer teams that won state championships, and, you know, I'm sure we've had other sports at Strathaven, and, you know, we have a bunch of track state championships, but I would love to be able to do that as a baseball program for sure.
Brian Feely, thanks so much for coming in. This was great.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And that will do it for this week's episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Brian Feely, head baseball coach at Strathaven High School in Delaware County, for coming in studio and being our guest this week. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well, at Matt Leon 1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.